Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Jeff, today's show is going to be intense. It's going to have integrity, and it's going to have intelligence. This is Tom. I'm with Jeff. This is The Payoff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing today, my friend?
I've got a tall, cold glass of milk. I am ready to talk about this match. This is one of those, we'll get into the why, but I'm excited. This should be a fun one.
Is it true that if you drink a gallon of milk, you'll throw up? Isn't that right? Like, it's impossible?
That is, I can, from firsthand experience, I can say that yes, you will get sick. That was one of the frat house challenges that we
did. I was going to ask you, was that done out of curiosity or out of being told to do it?
Being stupid college kids, the rules were you had to be, you could wear a hoodie and boxers, and you had to stand outside and drink a whole gallon of milk in the cold. So we were pretty stupid, but we did that. And yes, that was of my own choice. I remember I got through about 3/4, and then we don't need to tell you what happened, but yeah, the front yard looked pretty gross that next day. So it was, I highly don't ever drink it. Try it. Trust me, it can't be done. It's not fun. Yeah.
All right. There's your public service announcement here.
Fun fact about Jeffrey Ryan for the day. Yeah.
So let's take care of business here real quick. As always, we're at Payoff Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Payoff Pod. And then hit us on Twitter at Payoff Tom, at Payoff Jeff. And always love to hear the feedback and spreading the word. We certainly appreciate that. So we're going to talk about this match, Jeff. Why did you want to cover it? Obviously, we're in the throes of the summer in June, and June means King of the Ring. So we're thinking through some of the King of the Ring classics. And this one came to mind, but why are you excited to cover it?
This is one of those where I think that as many times as I think you and I have both seen the kind of iconic photo of, spoiler a little bit here, where Angle throwing Shane in the glass, not breaking. I think this is one of those where I know that, but I didn't know the full story. I didn't know with a lot of these, like kind of how we got to that point. And so I think that was why I was super excited about it. Is one, I make no secret, neither do you, of like how we love these little tournaments. We want more of these, King, Queen of the Ring, whatever it might be, that this is something to really add a little bit to it. And so I think twofold. One, because I didn't know the full story. And then two, I'm never going to say no to a multi-man, multi-women tournament either. How about you?
Man, I just remember this thing being brutal, and it kind of came out of nowhere. We were already conditioned that, hey, Shane jumps off shit, right? And so you might have been expecting a big spot, but you weren't expecting this level of brutality. And, there's some classic, stories around just how terrified Vince was backstage during this match. We'll get into it and we're going to watch it. But I don't remember every spot and everything that happened in this match. I just remember it being brutal as hell. I probably went back and watched a few years ago, so some of it's a little fresh in my mind, but it's just going to be awesome. And again, it came out of nowhere. It's not like this was some, year-long feud with this massive blow-off. They just beat the hell out of each other. So I'm pretty excited for this. Let's quickly, and it's a long match, so let's quickly get into the build, and then we're going to cover the match and obviously talk about the aftermath. So right now, as always, let's get to the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
King of the Ring 2001, Jeff. They didn't do this much longer. You forget that it's been almost 20 years since we got Kings of the Ring. it started in 93. We'll talk more about it during the match. There was this nice run, but you know, this would stop being a pay-per-view pretty soon. So June 24th, 2001, we're in East Rutherford, New Jersey, Continental Airlines Arena, 17,000 in attendance. So man, you know, we're down to one major wrestling promotion. They're still pretty darn hot coming off the Attitude Era and you know, arguably the tail end of it, just still packing arenas. So I'll quickly run through this, and I know you're going to talk more about the build, but you know, Kurt Angle's kind of doing double duty here, okay? So he's in the King of the Ring tournament, but then he's also wrestling Shane McMahon in a street fight, and Jeff will explain how that happens. But we start off with Kurt Angle defeating Christian, 8-minute match. Then we get Edge defeating Rhino in an 8-minute match as well. So those are the semifinals, and we're building to Edge and Kurt Angle for the King of the Ring. And the beauty of the King of the Ring at this time was, I mean, it – in a lot of ways signified you're the next guy, right? You're the next single star in the company. Bret already was a single star, but Owen was growing. And, you know, you think of some of the guys that got anointed, like a Triple H, like a Steve Austin. This was a Brock Lesnar, right? I mean, this was a big point for these guys. So this was really anointing Edge. And then Edge would defeat Kurt Angle in 10 minutes in the King of the Ring final match. We also had the Dudleys, who were the tag team champions at the time, defeating a tag team I don't remember, Kane and Spike Dudley, go figure. Light heavyweight match, Jeff Hardy keeping the light heavyweight title against X-Pac. then we got the street fight, which is the reason we're here. 26-minute match. That's why we're going to spend a lot of time covering you know, some of this stuff during the match. And then the main event of your champion, Stone Cold Steve Austin, defeating Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho in a triple threat match. So, you know, we're kind of twilighting on Steve Austin in the promotion. But at the time he is champion. And then just for some fun facts here, some other guys that were in the King of the Ring, and these matches took place between June 4th and June 24th. Hardcore Holly, both of the Hardys, Kane, Raven, The Big Show, Test, Steve Blackman, Perry Saturn, Crash Holly, Tajiri, and Taz. So this thing's littered with former ECW guys, kind of crazy. But again, this is, you know, starting to get into the invasion. Just an odd time in the business, man. A lot going on. So let's, and we'll cover some of this stuff during, but let's talk build. How do we get to Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon literally trying to kill themselves, Jeff?
So yeah, I'll talk more kind of as we're kind of watching the match on like who's in the actual King of the Ring and kind of how that played out. Because yeah, Kurt Angle pulled triple duty this night. Yeah, he had a busy night. So, but yeah, like you said, how do we get here? How, you know, what is the build of this one? So it was actually just a couple weeks earlier, prior to this King of the Ring, May 21st. It was an episode of Raw with this King of the Ring taking place on June 24th. So yeah, barely a month before this, you had Shane McMahon. He interrupted Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, it was Judgment Day, the previous pay-per-view. He actually won his Olympic gold medals back from Chris Benoit. There was a whole thing where he got him, fell out the ring, whatever, you know, just a piece of that. Of course, Benoit had the medals, but Angle wore them back, or won them back, excuse me. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match, which, again, that's another one we don't see a whole lot of, but I'll kind of get into that a little bit. But he kind of got his rings after that. There was rings. Wow. Got his medals after that. I'm thinking Olympic rings. So, but Benoit said he was going to keep the medals, of course. And this was wrestling. Remember, some would say this was like peak wrestling when it was just a one promotion, but this was fairly bad. Of like, Benoit said he was going to keep the gold medals in a safe and warm place. Of course, nature's pocket, had it in his crotch. And so put it down there, kind of had it. And so, after, you know, him interrupting and the medals and things like that, there was, of course, a little bit of a back and forth with, you know, that feud ended with Benoit. And then you have like McMahon coming into the picture with this, these medals and things. It was a good kind of, or three fall, or yeah, three Wow, two out of three falls. Can't talk today. And so you had Angle, or first Benoit pinning Angle with an Angle Slam, and then you had Angle submitting with the submitting Benoit with the ankle lock, submission only. And so it was pinfalls only, submission only, and then it was a ladder match. And so, and then of course I had forgotten too a part of this, and they kind of play into a factor a little bit later on this too. Was I don't remember if you remember Team ECK, Edge, Christian, and Kurt, and so that was one that I didn't remember that got involved in that match. And so these guys, kind of some of the feuds that you get in the King of the Ring are kind of important, because you had Kurt Angle and Edge, Team ECK. So there was a whole lot that was playing into that as well too. And so, but Shane interrupted, and kind of, that's why they kind of had, it started the back and forth there. So Shane too was coming back. He was actually a face at this time. This is again the typical authority, would not call the authority, but Vince versus Shane and kind of the angles that they had. This was again one of the not great storylines where Shane was upset with Vince because you had the affair with Trish Stratus, of course, which and then also wanting the divorce from Linda McMahon. And so you had that happening with Vince and Shane being upset about that. But then also at the same time, and a big piece of this that we'll talk about during the match, was you did have the WCW being sold to WWF. And so this was actually right around the time when they were having their father versus son match at WrestleMania 7 or X17. So you kind of had that going on. And so there was a big piece of it where they wanted, you know, Vince wanted Ted Turner to come sign a contract. It was a whole thing. And I was kind of reading, and I remember back, this actually isn't bad storyline where like the son, then Shane swooped in, bought WCW before Vince could, which, I mean, it's all the storyline, but that's actually not a
No. It actually made a lot of sense. I mean, and we've covered this a little bit. The issue was WCW just had no talent at this point.
Right, exactly.
But the storyline made sense. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, so Shane owns one, Vince owns one, and then theoretically, if Shane had a really good roster, you could have the dream matches, which you couldn't because the roster sucked, and then you could have spun off and said, hey, the SmackDown or Raw, one of them's WCW, one of them's WWE, and you would have had the true brand split of the two of them. And, I mean, still to this day, think of the repercussions. I'm going to talk more about this during the match, but think about the repercussions if WCW had that talent, or they were able to bring over the Goldbergs, the Stings, the NWOs of the world. You built two separate legitimate brands. So instead of Raw and SmackDown, think WWF, WCW, okay? You have those two separate. Think about the repercussions, like to this day, where you'd still, the Survivor Series would mean more if it was your annual WWF versus WCW.
Yes. And they've done better in recent years with the NXT and kind of doing all that. Like,
But again, you still look at it. You're like, okay, so half these guys have red shirts, half have blue shirts. You still get some good matches. But again, if you actually had two legitimate brands, and there was some, and then the lineage of it, right? So the WCW championship, well, okay, that goes back to, gosh, Ric Flair and Lex Luger and, all these great guys. And then you've got history and you've got all those things happening for you, which, wow, that's really interesting. And so instead of saying, oh, we have, 15 belts that mean nothing, and the Universal's red and the or blue and the Universal's red and the SmackDown one's blue, and okay, well, there's a blue and a red and you used to have two championships, so what, versus saying, hey, we've got the big gold belt and that's WCW and that thing's still around, and then we got the WWF one, and storyline standpoint, there's an authority figure, but it actually makes sense that WCW's current authority figure is Eric Bischoff. And, maybe you have ECW as that third brand that's what NXT is, and you would have used it as a filler system. But again, you have the history of ECW, because that's one of the things where WWF, WWE has always been able to be better than the WCW or the ECWs of the world, or even the AEWs and the TNAs, is the history. WrestleMania is WrestleMania. I don't care if you've tuned out all year and you're down on the product. When it comes to WrestleMania, it's like, man, this is where Hogan and Warrior squared off. This is where, all these great things happened. That history, that lineage means something. It's why is the NFL so powerful? Well, because there's these deep-rooted fans and history and cities. And it, I mean, it's just such a behemoth. And it's the same thing with WWE, where there's just so much history and stuff there. So if you could have somehow carried over that ECW thing and that WCW thing, now you're talking about in 2020, gosh, you're talking about 40 years worth of history. And then 30 some with ECW. Well, what's that worth? Well, it means that we've had, you know, 25 November to Remembers. We've had 35 Bash at the Beaches. Like, that would actually mean something, and it would really, really be powerful. And you would have created your own competition. You would have had a monopoly. So again, the point I guess I'm making is they fucked so many things up during this era that it's not about, oh, well, there was no WC talent. Oh, well, I just feel like the business would be in a much better, different place. And when I say business, I mean WWE's business would be in a much better place if they could have gotten this right somehow, some way, and had these three brands and been able to do it. Yes, I love NXT. I think it's fantastic. But hey, it'd be pretty cool if ECW had, you know, going on their 30th November to Remember, and Adam Cole was your world champion, and maybe there was still some smaller venue ruggedness to it, but we didn't have, you know, thumbtacks and balcony dives on every show. So yeah. Again, you know, a lot there, but man, this it's interesting to look at this era and think about what could have been, not just in that era, but how it could have shaped the business till today.
Well, and I've talked to, and we'll get into it during the match. We can continue this piece of it, but like, bring back the Legends for Survivor Series. Do a Legends belt. I don't want more belts, but that's one where you can incorporate your and not get these terrible fucking matches between people that don't belong in the ring together. So
yeah, and I think sometimes people think you have to make a decision. You either have to be new and edgy like AEW, or you have to, you know, bring back all the legends like the WWE. The truth is, you can do both, right?
Yeah.
You can have a show where, you know, The Undertaker and Goldberg are wrestling, but so are Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, right? You can do both. And then why do you do that? Well, you do that so that my buddy who is on and off about subscribing to the network is like, hell yeah, I'm going to watch WrestleMania. The Undertaker's on it. Oh gosh, you know what? This one guy is just really phenomenal. It's AJ Styles, man. He's great. I'm actually going to tune into Raw to watch him. Or, you know, so again, you know, it's okay to do both. And, you know, I mean, what's AEW do? Well, they're bringing in WWF guys. They're bringing in Jake Roberts and Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson and Mike Tyson. They're doing the same damn thing. So anyways, back to 2001. Yeah.
So wrapping this up real quick here on the build here, what you end up happening is you got all this different stuff with, you know, WCW and everything else. So it's important that what you had is, though, Shane announcing that WCW, of course, coming back. He started mocking Angle, which of course led into the ring tussle. There was an Angle slam on McMahon. And then you had the flip side, McMahon attacking Angle. So it was really just about a tight month where these guys were kind of, you know, feuding, like kind of had a little bit of a back and forth in the ring. Shane using the Undertaker to attack Angle. And that's what got us to this match, which was ended up being a street fight actually between the two of them at King of the Ring. And so it's something just as we're kind of getting into this, you know, pointing out that like, while this was at King of the Ring, this was not one of the King of the Ring matches, which I didn't even realize that, I don't think, until I started kind of digging into this a little bit. But we'll talk about that. We got a lot of time to talk during this one. And so tight little build got us here, get this match. Tom, what do you got before we get into the payoff?
Nothing else, man. If I get started on another tangent, we're going to be here all day. So
oh boy, yeah,
let's jump into this match. So for those who want to watch it, Kurt Angle's walking out to the ring. We're at the 1 hour and 40 minute mark of King of the Ring 2001. So again, the 1 hour 40 minute mark of King of the Ring 2001. Kurt Angle's coming out. Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready, my friend.
All right, it's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
There he is, dude. Kurt Angle coming down to the ring. Pissed off as all hell. This is going to be great. And I bet you Kurt Angle, because he's just such a freaking animal, doesn't even get tired during this match, but I don't know, maybe he does. So I'm pumped for this one, man. This is going to be good.
Yeah, watching Kurt the Ring, and this was, I really say, like, I think I have underestimated, especially when he came back recently, like, oh boy, right out of the gate, a quick spear, just how good Kurt Angle is.
Well, there's a couple things, right? So we forget how good he was. And then, like, I can't wait for WrestleMania season. We're going to watch that match with Shawn Michaels. That's definitely one going to be on our list. But you forget he was just incredible. He was an animal. He could do everything in the ring. He could ground wrestle. He could fly a little bit. The suplexes, the speed, the strength. I mean, you're seeing it on display right now. He could do everything. There's a couple reasons that it's tough to remember this. And The two big ones for me are, number one is, in his words, his best work was in TNA. So, I mean, many of his best matches we didn't even see, right? I mean, his prime, or part of his prime, was spent not even on the big stage, right? So a lot of us never saw those matches. And then when he came back, I mean, he had said that his body basically, and you may have heard him say this, but his body was kind of arthritic. So because he did the GM stuff, he just got really, really stiff and couldn't physically do what he had done. So what he had wanted to do was, after the Hall of Fame, he wanted to wrestle, but instead they made him GM first and then had him wrestle, and it was too late and the build wasn't there. But you know, the way you would have done it is you would have had him the night after, God, Kurt Angle's already bleeding, the night after WrestleMania when they announced him as GM, you would have just had someone attack him and just turned him into a wrestler or something. It was just a missed opportunity. There's really no other way of putting it.
Kurt's 51 right now, so you figure in this match he would have been, you know, 30-ish, right around there. Yeah. And so this is what, like, this really, and this was before, you know, the broken freaking neck. Like, this was before a lot of that stuff had happened. And so he's really very young in his career at this point. Like, so, it's just one of those. Yeah.
So Angle's the heel right now, but he looks like the baby face. I mean, it's kind of like they're, I don't know, it's just interesting how they're working this. I mean, it was tough because it's like, am I supposed to cheer for WCW or am I not? Shane's the good guy, but then WCW's bad. That was part of, I mean, one of the many issues with this whole invasion thing is you just didn't know who to cheer for. That's why instead of making, it's just so awkward when you're like, hey, we're going to take this roster of baby faces and heels and they're all going to get along and be the good guy or the bad guy. Like, that's why you should have tried to just, I mean, it almost would have been better if instead of the invasion pay-per-view, it would have been better if they just split them initially and didn't have them wrestle until Survivor Series, WrestleMania, whatever you did, or maybe they don't, you know, right? I mean, so you wait on that and you build up the roster separately and then you say, hey, we have faces and heels in both. But like, I never understood why it's like, what, so Raw's good guys and SmackDown's bad guys or whatever? So Angle bleeding, pretty crazy here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're right out the gates, man. This is just great.
And so, and this is one too. Again, this was Shane very early, obviously, in his career too, kind of doing what he does. And it really, like, you know, I try and think back, like, you know, Shane, and I'll probably catch some shit for this. Like, everybody has their different feelings on Shane, but like, he really is at his best when he was feuding with Vince. And like, you got this, like, and I'm not advocating in any way to bring back an authority Angle, because I think that's, you know.
Yeah, but Vince McMahon was the greatest heel in the history of wrestling.
And I will get into that, actually. And as you might imagine, I kind of did my homework on this one. The PWI feud of the year for 2001 was Shane and Vince. And so, like, it speaks to kind of the volumes of, as much as, like, we hate seeing that authority sometimes, like, when he came back a couple years ago in Detroit and his music hit when they were trying to give Vince, or, yeah, if Stephanie was giving Vince that award or whatever the hell it was, like, the place went crazy. Like, Shane's just, I don't know what it is. I think he's just maybe better as a face in that way. And he's had some WrestleMania moments. He's given us some WrestleMania moments, which is kind of crazy to think about, but he really has, though. And so I'm not saying he's obviously, you know, top caliber person in the ring, but I mean, we couldn't do what he does. Yeah, credit to
him. Oh yeah. Well, and he put in the time to learn it. That's the thing. I mean, dude, I don't care what you say about Shane and Steph. They were raised the right way. They worked their freaking asses off. They were given nothing. They both started out doing, you know, bullshit work in the company and learned the entire business. Yeah, of course they have advantages because they're related to Vince McMahon, but like they did everything. They work crazy hours. I mean, Triple H and Steph, they're working out at midnight because that's the only time they have. Oh, and they have what, three daughters? You know, so it's, I mean, I have all the respect in the world for both of them.
I thought I read somewhere that he gets up at four every day.
Triple H?
Yes.
Like, he might,
I've seen that too, like the late night workouts, things like that. You know, we kind of read that before, but like 4 or 5 o'clock, like he's up and he's working out. Like, which I get it. Look at the dude. Like, it makes sense. But like, and Stephanie, but you're right. Like, raising a family under that. And yeah, they've had some mishaps over the years. Like, you see some of the crazy tweets and stuff. Like, you know, some of that's been bad. But overall, like, yeah, it's hard to complain. Now, here's a little piece of trivia for you, though.
Okay. Ooh,
Shane, kind of running up top. What, I did not know this, but do you know what pay-per-view Shane debuted comes the money at? I didn't realize he didn't.
No clue.
I didn't realize he didn't. Like, I got to look up what his theme was.
Oh, it would have been. No. I will say it's around this time because he was coming out to No Chance in Hell, even as far as when he bought WCW. So my guess is it would have been WrestleMania 17.
It was Backlash, April
2000. The month after. Okay.
Yeah. Super close. Yes.
Yeah.
So he came out. It was actually a last man standing match against the Big Show. And he did
a balcony dive or some crazy shit. That was
the leap of faith from the top of the scaffolding. Yes.
Yeah, you forget all those. I mean, there was the one with Blackman, the one with Big Show, the one with Test, Taker off the cage, obviously all the elbow drops, just beating the shit out of him with a kendo stick right now. I mean, they're doing all kinds of crazy kendo stuff here.
Correct to have
Paul Heyman on commentary. He was just so good on commentary at this time.
Yes, and so you're right, and that was one where, and he does, like he has that kind of, he's known for jumping off a tall shit. Well, he jumps off a tall shit. Like, yeah. That's what it is. But that was where the Here Comes the Money debuted was at Backlash 2001, which I thought was interesting, so.
So, man, God, there's just so much to talk about here. So next thing I want to ask you about, do you know about the recent news from Kurt Angle? Did you, at the time we're filming this, I had just heard it.
I saw a headline that said he was supposed to manage someone and then
Matt Riddle. Like,
really?
Interesting. Yeah. They asked him to manage Matt Riddle and he just said he didn't want to travel right now. Basically, he's got some personal stuff at home. I mean, I feel bad for man Angle. He always has personal stuff at home, right? I mean, his brother's in jail for killing someone. And I don't know. It just seems like he's had a pretty complicated life, just family and obviously his own shit.
Raising Jason Jordan couldn't have been easy.
No. And I don't know if they still communicate or what happened.
I don't think they had a falling out, but you know, it's gotta be hard to not see his son on TV.
And so I guess, is Jason Jordan an agent right now? Cause I think I saw him come out recently.
I thought, yes, he was on something. Yes, you're right. And I forget, like, he's definitely backstage now. I feel for the guy because like he was a rock star. Like,
oh my God,
like Jack to hell. Like he went to Indiana University. And so when I saw him, that was a terrible spear from Shane right there.
Yeah.
When we saw NXT here actually, and so they were doing the Hoosiers chant for him and he was eating that up. And so I was actually having that thought today, like even the NXT show you and I went to, like a lot of those guys, like it happens, and women, like just they haven't broken out on the main roster in any way. And we saw a guy like Joe and Shinsuke, like I mean the venue we saw it in was maybe 1,000 people at most, like mm-hmm. and that's great, but seeing those guys in that atmosphere, like you just it feel for some of them. And like I said, like the joke aside here, like it does suck for him. And I'm sure like Kurt Angle was mentoring him too. And so you figure if they put him in a storyline together, they had to be working together. So that piece of it's got to suck.
Absolutely.
But anyway, the Matt Riddle piece of it. Yeah. I saw, I didn't see who, but that, that would have been incredible. I would have watched that.
Yeah, I know. It would have been pretty cool. And I mean, who knows? We might've got another match out of him. His last match being that stupid Baron Corbin thing. Ugh.
Yeah. And put, which, and I don't know why Corbin is like, he's kind of survived. Like,
you know why? Yeah. It's don't overthink this. He's a big bastard that played in the NFL that Vince McMahon likes.
And he, I remember it was like, he was on Tough Enough or whatever it was. Like he seems like a dick in real life. And so I kind of appreciate that, that like he's, whether it was,
oh, he's a heel. Yeah. That's not a character.
He should be a heel, like keeps playing up the King Corbin thing. Like, and I have moments where I hate him too, where he's in the spotlight, but at the same time, you can't argue with kind of what they're doing with him. And so this kind of leads into what we were talking about earlier in like the Survivor Series and then the Legends and things like that. Who, you know, out of like the Legends we're kind of currently seeing right now. And like, if you had Angle and Riddle that were paired up, like who would you like to see kind of paired up on the main roster as like a legend and, you know, mentoring kind of a younger guy? Like, is there anybody that pops into your mind that you're like, man, I would really like to see these guys paired together, or these women paired together would make a great team?
Well, I mean, the first guy that comes to mind just in terms of being paired with somebody is Ric Flair. That'd be cool, right? I mean, I think that you could do something there. I think TNA did that with AJ Styles and stuff, but I think, and I guess they tried with The Miz, but nice little tornado DDT there, man. It was just great. It was a great match so far.
They put on a good match right so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, they've been everywhere and it's just been nonstop. I mean, they're both kind of worn out and we're a third of the way through this damn thing. So, any guy that has a good promo, right? Because, I mean, I think that's the difference is, you know, you look at like Jake Roberts in AEW, and I haven't seen a lot of it, but I saw one or two of his promos. I'm like, God, man, the guy can just talk. I mean, he'll be in his deathbed, and he'll still be able to, you know, just really do an incredible job. So sharpshooter there.
Promos better than, you know, 90% of the roster.
Yeah. Right, so I guess for me, in terms of like what legends I'd like to see paired, anyone that can cut a promo. Right. I mean, but you know, if they can't get in the ring, it's, you know, do you ever get the payoff really? Like, I mean, Ric Flair is not going to be taking bumps and doing another match. So I don't know. But I like anybody.
Well, it was on NXT for a little while. I think like Johnny Gargano and Shawn Michaels was another one where I know they had the ab off for like a month there where they tried to see who could get like better abs and like a 30-day thing, which is kind of funny. But you kind of wonder, like, and I know recently too, I wonder, like, Adam Cole and like the stable there. And somebody just came out recently and said, like, Adam Cole would be Universal Champ if he was bigger, which sucks because Adam Cole's a rock star.
I'll tell you who it was Road Dogg on Corey Graves's podcast.
Okay. So we both kind of, both read the same thing. Yeah.
How long has Adam Cole been champion?
Adam Cole, it's been a while. Yeah. And so I'll kind of look it up as we're sitting here right now.
But it's been great.
And my brother choreographed that when he debuted, because you had Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly showed up earlier in the night, I remember. And then when they kind of showed up to interfere with Drew, and after Drew's match, our brother's like, he's coming. And you could then it was that kind of the crowd pop. Before you could see what was happening, and then Adam Cole showing up, because my brother had followed him a lot in Ring of Honor and knew who he was far more than me. But that's just one of those things. But in that stable, they're kind of hinting though that Adam Cole might be leaving by the time this, you know, we're a couple weeks out at this point, but it might be one of those where from his contract ending this summer, because we're seeing that a little bit too.
And really. So,
they're saying he might AEW because his girlfriend, Britt Baker, is an AEW. And so she got some shit because he was at a AEW party and he was in the background of a photo behind Shivani. And so then she deleted it, reposted it. And he was cropped out. And so there was just kind of, you know, stuff like that. It's just kind of weird. So he is currently, he won it. So this is perfect. June 1st, 2019. And so just barely about a month and a year, at this point, by the time this is airing, that he's had the belt. So over a year, which is crazy when you think about it.
Well, he's rock solid, man. Everything he does is great. And
he is the longest reigning, by a lot, longest reigning NXT champion. Finn Balor would be the closest one, but he was under 300 days.
Of course, by the time this airs, he may no longer be champion. You don't know.
Yeah, you never really
We did have to record this a little early because I have a kid coming any day now. So we're getting a few episodes ahead to make sure we're able to release them. Shane McMahon on top, Angle with the garbage can. He goes, wow, geez.
There's the shooting star. And again,
Shane misses the shooting star press. I forgot he was doing that. He did that at the Rumble a few years ago in Phoenix when I was here. That's when he was tag team champions. I think he busted it out there.
And he had the camera flashes too. So again, I've talked about it before, just missing the camera flashes.
I miss crowds too. So yeah. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. These King of the Rings were really good. Let me just humor you for a second as we two count. Yep. Okay. Both guys out in the middle of the ring. God, what a great match so far. Just beating the hell out of each other. If you're not watching this live, go watch it at some point. This is just a really, really good match. So these King of the Rings, man, 93, you have Hogan, Yoko. That's when Yoko would win. And then Bret Hart becomes the King of the Ring. So really good start to it. 94, that was the year Owen won it, right? An interesting show. Roddy Piper and Jerry Lawler was actually the main event of that one, interestingly enough. And that was a big push to that. But, I mean, those promos and that was really good. The match kind of sucked, but it was a fun one. Then the 95 King of the Ring, that's when, the winner got to wrestle for the championships. There was more at stake there. Mabel would win that one. Then we go off to 96, okay? So 96, that's the one where it's Ultimate Warrior and Jerry Lawler. Again, you're kind of trying to recreate that with, Lawler being the heel, Warrior's back. Main event of that was Shawn keeping the title against the British Bulldog. But famously, of course, Steve Austin wins the King of the Ring. So that's a really good one, okay? Just crazy here. Then we go to 97. 97 was the year Triple H would win the King of the Ring. Taker defends his title against Farouk in the main event. You also had Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin in a double countout. Triple H defeating Mankind in 20 minutes for the King of the Ring there. 98, of course, we know that's a pretty famous one. That's the one where you got the Hell in the Cell match. You had Austin and Kane in a title change in the main event. Oh, and by the way, you had Ken Shamrock win the King of the Ring. So again, big time spot for someone to win that. Billy Gunn's your King of the Ring in 99. Remember, they were getting behind him pretty good. And then Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon defeating Steve Austin for control of the World Wrestling Federation in a ladder match in the main event. Taker and Rock would wrestle for the title as well. It's just loaded. 2000, that was a fun one as well. Okay. So, and we're getting close to the end of these things here. The Rock and the Brothers of Destruction defeating the McMahon-Helmsley faction in the main event. Kurt Angle's your King of the Ring. He wins it in 2000. So actually 2001, he was trying to be a defending champion. We're covering 2001 in today's episode. Okay. And hard to believe this was 19 years ago. And then, we're about to wrap up. The last one's 2002, and then they would end it. And so your 2002 King of the Ring obviously is Brock Lesnar. So here we go. Yeah. Oh, so hold on. So now here's
the spot.
Yeah. So we've gone up the ramp. We're doing suplexes. We're wrestling on the floor all the way up. And now here comes the big spot.
The failed suplex. Yes.
Yeah. So Shane tries to do the belly to belly, throwing him over, release into this glass set, and it just doesn't break. And Shane's landing on his neck, and they're like, all right, well, let's try this again. Damn glass is supposed to break. And
you could see now Angle checking on him and talking to him. Yeah. And it finally goes through.
So he throws him through harder. I mean, who would have thought that this stuff was not gimmicked. I mean, Shane's bleeding all over his face. Angle's bleeding on his back. There's these shards everywhere. I mean, this stuff was not gimmicked.
Yeah, and so even salt glass, it's still salt glass. You're still going to fucking hurt yourself, like plain and simple. So, and this is what, too, I know, like 2002 is the last sequential King of the Ring. There's been a few since.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't want fans blowing us up on Twitter saying that.
Booker, Regal, Corbin.
Bad News Barrett. Yeah. When they did, that was a little tiny one that they did that was just on the network and kind of shitty. So, you got Angle.
Shane is just
gushing blood,
and he does it again. He tries throwing him through another piece, and he misses. I mean, there's just blood everywhere.
So you got blood everywhere checking on him.
Has to probably be, if he's not standing right behind the camera, he's standing right by there. This is right by the entrance.
Yeah, Gorilla's right there. Yeah. And so kind of makes sense. But and they've got glass sticking out of them. Like they're pulling themselves up by having to put their hands on the ground.
Oh!
And again.
Didn't break again.
Not breaking. Yep. And so again, so in the first one too, and he has talked himself about like his neck was shot after the first one, like how he landed and it's just.
Oh, and now he just threw him through face first.
The classic through the glass.
I mean, there's glass everywhere.
The Marty.
And Jannetty. It's glass. Yeah. It's actual glass. And watch this replay. I mean, it's sadly, you'd rather be thrown through it face first at this point.
This is a great replay of him coming through it and just the blood all over his face. Yep. Trying to pin him. Yep. This one of those, you don't see a whole, look at the blood that is just at the bottom of the background. For those of you at home, it's probably got at least like a 1x1, 1x2, like square rectangle of blood. Oh, Angle slipping on the glass. I think it's because he gets blood all over his hands. Can't even pull Shane, which he's pulling Shane through the glass, which has got to suck so bad. And kind of dealing with that. Yeah. Arm wow. covered. God, look at all the blood he's got on him. He's trying over to the fans right now. Fans don't give a shit. Fucking patting him on the back and trying to give him props. So this is one too. So I think that, you know, the King of the Ring too, kind of having it, I hope they kind of keep bringing it back because now we've got it, you know, in 19, like this year is kind of screwed up. So none of us know kind of really what's going to happen. And if we're ever going to get a true event with fans ever again, at this point, if it can be pulled off, Vince will do it though. I have no doubt.
Look, here's the thing, right? And he's pushing him on the cart to get him back in the ring. It's great. So, I mean, here's the thing. You've got 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of NXT, 2 hours of SmackDown. That's 9 times 52, 468 hours of television a week. Yeah, you can figure out a week to do a King of the Ring tournament, just like you can figure out a week to do a Bash at the Beach theme or a Slammies week. I just think they need to theme more of these shows or more of these weeks. You do a Legends week, you do a, you know, King of the Ring week, and it can go across all. I mean, hell, you could do it on all three shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes no reason not to.
Queen of the Ring.
Queen of the Ring.
One, yep. 1 week's King of the Ring. 1 week's Queen of the Ring. 1 week's Slammies on all three shows. And you could do it across all three shows.
And why the people can't figure out, you know, I'd say people, Vince or any of them, like the screams for Queen of the Ring and they don't do it. Like, yeah, like how many of these people, and you hear about it, like how many of these women aren't getting a shot? Like, there's your chance to give them the shot.
Two count.
Very close to count.
Shane kicks out. Hey, are you more surprised Shane McMahon's not more involved in the back end of, you know, like the back office stuff? I mean, it just seems like he's just an on-air talent. He left to go do his own thing. He was involved in some businesses. I have no idea how those did. I mean, I remember he was involved in one. I actually bought their stock at one point. It was supposed to be like the YouTube of China, kind of like a YouTube Netflix hybrid. I don't know how it ended up ever doing, but he was like on the board of that. And yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I'm sure he obviously has plenty of money from WWF stock, but yeah, I don't really know whatever happened, like whatever he does like professionally to stay busy, and just kind of odd. I don't know.
So this says to his first, he started at age 15 in the WWE warehouse fulfilling merchandise orders.
Yeah.
And so when you say, as long as he's been in the business, like he started in the warehouse. And yeah, like you're right. He had an, you know, his dad's Vince, you know, he wasn't going to be in the mailroom forever, but
Shane hits the angle slam, man, both of them out. This is great.
Yeah. See, it says he's still a very small minority owner, and yes, you're right. Just kinds of different things. Yeah. Weird, but anyways, yeah, a few different things. That's why we can do a little bit of research, kind of find stuff.
Yeah, I just don't know what he's doing now, and it's interesting. I mean, I wonder if he regrets it. Like, hey, I wish I would have stayed at the company. I wish I was kind of in that. And you know, Vince, man, he's so unpredictable. Like, would it shock you if somehow Shane ended up taking over the company and Steph and Triple H didn't? Would it shock you?
Well, no, it wouldn't.
It might surprise you, but it wouldn't be like, oh, how could that happen? Sure, it could happen.
You on demand, the first video on demand and pay-per-view service in China.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I have no idea if he's still involved. I have no idea. I mean, I know he, you know, they had big plans for it. I mean, I don't know. He may invest in some companies. I think he lives in New York City. So, I don't know what he's doing. But anyways.
Well, and it's one of those, you're right. And speaking to like, who does take over? Like, you know, and this is, you know, speculation on every degree of every level.
No, but I mean, like, but I mean, you hear these rumors of, oh, could Disney purchase the WWE? Like, I mean, are they going to sell it or is it going to stay a family? I mean, I know it's a publicly traded company, but I mean, a family controlled business.
It's a family owned business. Yeah.
But are they going to sell? Like, I mean, does Disney buy it and the McMahons continue to run it? And you know, like what happens with this thing long-term? And like, is Triple H the next Vince or is it Steph? Or again, is it Shane? Right? Like who knows what's going to happen? So Angle standing on this board that's propped up on the corner. Okay.
It's a tiny piece of plywood. Yeah.
Angle slam off of it to the middle of the ring, place going nuts.
Covered in blood.
Shane going crazy. I mean, place standing, chanting, holy shit. Do you see this audience right now, Jeff? They're going
the guys
nuts.
In the front row are losing their shit. Yeah.
Everyone chanting, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, and what? Triple H just recently got his demotion, too.
And there it is.
1, 2, 3. Yep. Good stuff. That was a brisk 26 minutes. Jesus.
I mean, that thing did. This match did not stop. The action was man, what a good match.
We'll get there. We got some scores.
I know
to give.
We will. Yeah. All right. So
good stuff. Yeah.
So let's transition into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right. So what'd you think?
Great. Like I had not sat and watched the full thing. I'm really glad we did. Like you said, I encourage anybody that hasn't seen this match in a long time and doesn't know the full story to watch this match. It was far better than I expected it to.
I mean, is this one of the best matches that you and I mean, we've been doing this show for almost a year now. Is this just, I mean, again, take storyline out of it, take anything out of it, just two guys wrestling. Is that one of the best matches we've watched?
It's definitely a top one, which I wouldn't have expected to put Shane McMahon in that category and give us all the shit you want on Twitter. But like in regards to solid, just in-ring performance, because we've watched some matches where the story is great, but the in-ring is fucking terrible. This is one where the in-ring was above and beyond what I expected. Absolutely. I mean,
this was just, it was non-stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
And and this is the difference, Jeff, between a gymnastics meet spot match and a really like great physical. I mean, you know, I mean, they had great spots, but it all fit together. There was the psychology and the build and everything. So
it made sense.
That's the difference. Oh my gosh, it made all the sense in the world. It was fantastic.
So what do you got after this? Kurt being kind of led away from the ring at this point. We kind of keep having on in the background as we're kind of talking through some of this. But you eventually, though, had McMahon, as we said, the kind of WCW being bought and things like that. The McMahon leading the
WCW. It's all downhill from here.
Wrestlers. Yes. Leading those wrestlers against his father and the WWF wrestlers. He eventually turned heel. Shane did, joining forces with, we talked about at the very opening of the show, Paul Heyman here and the ECW wrestlers. Of course, and that the owner at the time, owner quote unquote at the time of ECW was Stephanie. So, they were the Alliance. There's a whole lot of meat there, but just all you need to know for right now is they were the Alliance. And what they do is that they said that they were going to run Vince out of business. WWF out of business, however you want to look at it. The angle's kind of the same way. I kind of have that. Shane now struggling at the top of the ramp and kind of just fun to see that one in the background, though. So you have the Alliance and them kind of, you know, trying to run Vince out of business to kind of deal with that. So you though eventually had this coming to a head with the Survivor Series match of the Alliance, WWF kind of going at each other and the kind of different teams and them kind of losing and things like that. So just kind of a fun cap off to kind of how that went. You had eventually had Vince quote unquote firing Shane and Stephanie the next night as well too. And so kind of fun how that played out. You know, it was a good little storyline. Shane went away for a little bit. Shane seems to get it. He goes away for a little bit and comes back, and he gets the pop that he deserves. And so just kind of fun to see how that played out. So he was gone. He was gone for about 2-3 years after this one. And so kind of fun how it played out on that end. And so you've got all that. You actually had Angle, though, playing into the Invasion storyline, kind of doing all that. He ended up feuding actually with Stone Cold for quite a while. The two of them kind of, you know, Angle kind of back and forth with some different belts. He also feuded as well with Booker T for a little bit, and kind of having that. And Angle just, he was in the early stages of career at this point. So he had a lot going on with that. Angle actually, he ended up beating, it was actually SummerSlam just a few months later. Angle beat Austin actually to win the WWF Championship. It was a rematch of that. He beat him at Unforgiven. And so, Angle, I mean, feuding with the best in the business at that point. And so just absolutely fantastic. And so kind of having that, kind of doing all that. You later had, you know, some turns and Angle, like who he was aligning himself and things like that. Eventually, though, acting is the reason for the Alliance's downfall because of him turning sides and turning heel and kind of doing all these different things. And so just kind of worked out, you know, for really both these guys, Shane going away for a little bit, Angle really just living his career, just doing the best he can. And really taking off at this point, you know, obviously at the time, no better than, you know, you had Vince and Austin feuding and then Angle and, you know, Austin feuding. So really just really good stuff between these guys and kind of where they went and kind of what happened to them. So good stuff. Tom, any thoughts for you, the aftermath?
No, just as you're talking about that and how Angle feuded with these guys, I mean, the guy was going to have a 4 or 5 star match anytime he was on pay-per-view. His promos and his heel character were top-notch, out of this world. Angle's a superstar, man. It's a shame that his run got cut short because of some of his issues. Again, the guy's a Hall of Famer. He's great. I mean, we have so many great memories of Kurt Angle. Don't get me wrong. But, man, if we could have had 5 more years of him being, you know, straight and being on the biggest stage, can you imagine?
Yeah. Absolutely, you know, crazy.
Because he wrestles that night. So I'm getting my years mixed up here, but – so just WrestleMania wise, you know, it's kind of crazy. We're at WrestleMania 17 at this point, right? And Angle's already a star and doing amazing stuff. I mean, remember, he wrestled Shawn Michaels at 21. Okay. So 19 was Lesnar. I mean, so my point being is that he was in the main event fold for like, what, 4 years, 5 years?
At least, yeah.
So imagine, I mean, the run, again, if things would have been a little bit different, I mean, you might have saw him 5, 6, 7 more years of doing this because he still had it in him, obviously. So anyways, let's talk payoff score and get out of here. I'll go first.
Well, we got some right up. I got a brief.
Oh, go. Yeah. Dude, every week I forget this. Every single week.
We have it in our notes too for all of you at home. It's this one.
Yeah, we have a nice little show format that we like to follow every week. And every week I screwed up.
So Angle 2001, his PWI, he was either 1 or 2. He was up there. I saw both and different things. Shane was unranked, but they did get the feud of the year. Like I said, Shane and Vince. And that was 2001. The write-up I could find, it was just a, you know, write-up of kind of what happened, kind of, you know, kind of what was there. The finish saw him use the board as a platform and use it to stand up while on top rope and delivering the Angle Slam. Shane got a huge ovation after the match from the crowd. 4 stars from your star giver and favorite person, Dave Meltzer, on that one.
Wait, what do you have? He had 4 stars?
4 stars on that one.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that, Jeff, what we just watched, that's 4 stars?
Yes.
That's not 4.25, 4.5, 4.75.
1, 2, 3, 4 asterisks.
I mean, that yes. is, and I'm not trying to stir shit up. I'm being dead serious. Do you think that was only a 4-star match?
Because based on my payoff score, yeah, I'm going to give it.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, like, if you're going to give it a 5-star match and you're really, and his matches are based on the match in the ring, how is that only 4 stars?
No, I agree with you there. That is not. Yes, I know.
What more do you want, man? The crowd's going nuts. It was a great match. It was nonstop. It was a street fight. Great spot. Come on.
Yeah, and that's one. So I am going to give this one an 8.5, which is a little over 4 star. Yeah. And so it kind of having that. I think that, yeah, this is one that, again, like I'd say my only knock on it was like the build being as short as it was. But at the same time, like there was a shit ton of stuff going on behind the scenes, like trying to bring everybody together, like kind of have, you know, you've got all these different brands and things like that. The in-ring product alone for me is like a 9.75, like, which is crazy to think, but in a Shane McMahon match, but that is how it is. And so, it's, you know, and I had for like, you know, as much as like some of his more recent, I say recent within the last 5-year matches have been like not great, kind of slow setting up, plotting, things like that. Like he was on Angle got a good match out of him, or Shane just had a good match, or it was a combination of both, or whatever. Like, it was really good to see. So, yeah, I'm at an 8.5 on this one. I'm interested what you have, though.
No bullshit. I have 8.5 as well.
Perfect. Okay.
And here's why. The match is like a 9.5, right? But we didn't have some big story. I mean, for a match like that, imagine if we had like a little bit more of a storyline. Imagine if it was like, hey, you know, there was something at stake, or there was a bigger storyline to it, right? Or something else. That's the only thing that would have got it higher for me. So 8.5, but if you want to be sports entertained for a half hour, find the match on YouTube, go on the network, watch this match. It is off the charts. You know, we've been doing this show for a year now. We've watched 50 matches together, and there aren't 5 matches we watched that are better than this, put it that way.
Absolutely. Which is crazy. And give a shit if you want, but tell us which of our matches you people are ranking higher too. So that's just how it is.
You people.
Yep, I know. That's what it is. So, all right. So good stuff all around. A couple of 8.5s. Great match on this one. This is a fun one to talk about.
Jeff.
Sorry, buddy.
I forgot to hit record.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, boy. I'm not.
That's my fear. So behind the scenes at the payoff, ooh, I'm the one that hits record. Okay. Very important position. I one of these times I'm going to forget, but I still haven't yet. We've never forgot. We've had a guest and we've never forgot when it's the two of us. So one of these times we're going to do it. We're finally going to get Marty Jannetty on the show and we're going to forget to do it.
He usually give me a 3-2-1 countdown on some of this, but that one we missed. Yes. So thank you for that. Definitely shit my pants a little bit here. So, all right, asshole, like you want to take us home here or what do you got, buddy?
I do. So we got our 3 eyes. You drank your milk. It was a good episode, man. This was a lot of fun. This was a great match. Man, I loved it. So really, really fun episode. We talked about a lot of shit too. This was a good one. So as always, appreciate you listening. Thank you for joining us on The Payoff.